This is John Martinka with another episode of the Getting the Deal Done podcast series, educational version, part one of business buyer roadblocks and obstacles. And before we get into my big three initial roadblocks and obstacles, there's something that comes before that, and that is, as a business buyer, you need to define your market. What are you going after? There's a huge difference if you are looking for a business that fits into the SBA loan guarantee program with your favorite bank or banker versus something larger where you are not going to use the SBA. You may have to, probably will have to put in more money, have more collateral, and higher payments, which affect cash flow, which often means you need investors if you're getting into that size range. Now, within the SBA program, there are micro businesses. We don't work with them. These are your delis and your dry cleaners, et cetera. You have small businesses that, you know, above the micro, but up to, you know, a couple few million in sales, mid-size, couple few million in sales to even close to 10 million, depending on the industry and the margins. And then blending into the lower middle market, which is a wide range. But for our client base, it's usually companies doing up to 15, 20 million in sales. So, roadblocks and obstacles. Number three, there are a lot of jobs disguised as a business, meaning they are a lifestyle business. They don't have the earnings one would expect. The owner is happy as can be because they are making much better money than they could ever make working for someone else. And they're in control. But there's really not enough money to pay for acquisition debt payments, and they're not willing to sell it most of the time for what it's really worth. They can't give up that kind of income. Number two, as always, there is competition. Look, major universities, Chicago, Stanford, and many others are teaching classes on entrepreneurship through acquisition. There are a lot of quasi-qualified buyers out there. People with no operation experience, never managed anyone, much less my favorite four things that any buyer should be competent at doing, and that is managing and leading to some varying degree people, processes, money, and enthusiasm. And enthusiasm's a big one. I recently met with a client. He's about 6 to 8 weeks in owning his business. The culture has improved tremendously. And the owner of the coffee shop in his complex told him, "Your employees are a lot happier since you took over." That is huge. There are people out there with corporate burnout. They just don't want to work for someone else. And they usually have the experience in the things I just mentioned. There's private equity money moving into smaller deals, especially if it's a add-on fit for what they want. There are business owners wanting to grow by acquisition. And really what it means is, as a buyer, you must set yourself apart. And you must build a relationship. And when you do that, here's what happens. Bill got an asking price from the sellers of the company he bought. Because they had hit it off like long-lost college buddies, the asking price was so fair, we actually joked, "What do we negotiate on? It doesn't have to be price." And then there's Mike. Mike was in competition with two other buyers. Mike made the lowest of the three offers. Mike got the deal. Why? The seller said, "This is the guy to take care of my business and take care of my people." Relationship and setting yourself apart is huge. And then number one, which is the big one, having a good search system. and recognizing confidentiality, or should I say the breach of confidentiality, is what just bothers the heck out of people selling a small, mid-sized business. So you need to plan. You need to know where your skills fit in. You need to know what you want, what you don't want. What you don't want is even more important. Don't worry as much about the industry as how your skills will fit in. Are you a marketing person, a salesperson, a process person? Big difference on the type of business, and even within industries, specific businesses where you may or may not be a match. And then there's the fact there is no multiple listing service. There's no pooling of listings by business brokers. It is not like buying a house. It is not like commercial real estate where you can see any and everything that's on the market in just about one place. Which leads us to the big one. In the small to mid-size, even rolling into the lower middle market size companies, somewhere between 50 and 80% of these businesses are never advertised or sold by business brokers, intermediaries. And again, it comes to confidentiality. The owners don't know what to do. They have a buddy who put the business on the market and someone found out about it. They have heard every horror story and they're scared that their employees and their customers and their suppliers and their competitors are going to find out. So what this means is to do a good search, to see as many possible businesses as possible. It's work. It takes effort, it takes time. And you need to have a plan and you need to implement the plan. It's really what it's all about. Your only plan for finding a business is your marketing plan of what you're going to do. So again, this is part one of roadblocks and obstacles for business buyers. To summarize, there's a lot of lifestyle businesses out there. There's always plenty of competition among business buyers for the good businesses, the ones worth owning. And then the big one, you got to have a good search plan and you got to implement the darn thing. So John Martinka, check us out at martinkaconsulting.com and listen to our other podcasts and our video podcasts on YouTube, our YouTube channel. Just check it out for Martinka Consulting. Thank you.